In Racine, Donald Trump's visit this week marked his third trip to Wisconsin this year. And we will see much more of him with the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next month. What a ride it has been since he first entered the race for president in 2016. It was at that time we discussed his nascent run with UW-Stevens Point Professor of Political Science, John Blakeman. We check back in with him now. And nice to see you, Professor.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, would you ever have predicted that all that has happened since we last discussed Donald Trump's campaign in 2016?
No, I would not. And, you know, I'll give you an example. When I teach American politics and constitutional law, I always like to emphasize students how the United States, you know, our democracy and our political systems are stable. And we peacefully transfer power from one president to another, typically every 4 years or every 8 years. And that turned out not to necessarily be the case, obviously, with January the 6th. And so I now have to talk with students about potential instability in our political institutions, which certainly comes out of the 2016 election results. I also have to emphasize the Electoral College a lot more in class than I ever have.
Indeed. So, of course, Donald Trump won Wisconsin and the presidency in 2016. But we talked a lot then about how he was leading with how it would be a rigged election. And clearly, that still figures prominently in his messaging.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And there's a good percentage of the electorate, you know, somewhere between a quarter and a third, perhaps, who believe that coming out of the 2020 election. And certainly strong Trump supporters almost absolutely believe that. That's a new development, you know, in how we approach, teach, and think about American politics. American elections, there's always been just a tinge of fraud for a couple of hundred years, of course, but not on this scale. And the fact that so many federal and state judges dealt with different cases concerning the 2020 election, and it still resonates so strongly against a good percentage of within the electorate, just strikes me as completely bizarre, you know. And it's something that political scientists are studying, but no one is really able to fully explain why this the big lie, as it's called, has become so entrenched in a part of the electorate.
In Racine this week, he continued to say that he did a lot better in Wisconsin in 2020 than in 2016. He did not. He lost to Joe Biden. Do voters just chalk this and other kind of fact-challenged comments to Trump being Trump? And does that matter?
Well, part of it is, yes, Trump being Trump, and he's just a different type of political candidate. I know that doesn't help people necessarily understand it, but there's really good qualitative research coming out now based on in-depth interviews with a wide range of voters. And some researchers, you know, there's a really good Republican consultant who she does focus groups and really tries to hone in on Trump supporters and why they tend to believe a lot of the lies that he espouses. For instance, you know, inflation is over 50%, or the United States is the main financial supporter of NATO. Neither of those are true. But for a lot of really strong Trump supporters, the truthfulness doesn't necessarily matter. For them, what matters is he's sort of giving it back to political elites. He's sort of putting them in the hot seat. He's embarrassing them. And that's what really hardcore Trump supporters like. It's the truthfulness doesn't matter. It's the fact that he's going after people who they think have an outsized control over the political system.
One other thing that we spoke about together in 2016 was rural rage, with immigration the leading issue there. How has that changed over these past two cycles?
I think over the past two election cycles, it's become much more entrenched in rural areas. I mean, Pew polling and I think PRRI both show that over 60% of rural voters typically rank immigration as their top one or two national issues that they focus on. And whereas in urban and suburban areas, immigration is going to be down at 3, 4, or 5. So for whatever reason, immigration really, really matters for rural voters. And that one, that's a tricky one to explain as well, partly because rural voters are typically what we call place bound. You know, they don't travel out of their areas as much as suburban or urban voters do. They don't encounter immigrants as much as urban or suburban voters do. And it could just be the place boundedness, the fact that they don't interact with non-citizens, migrant workers so much, immigrants. That probably is one of the main reasons that affects their views on immigration. But, you know, support for building Trump's wall on the southern border is much, much stronger in rural areas than it is in urban and suburban areas. And again, that's one of the, it's sort of an oddity, especially in rural areas that are far removed from the southern border, like Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas. You know, Minnesota and the Dakotas, North Dakota obviously share an international border, but the immigration problems in the North are not nearly as severe and dramatic as in the South. And one other thing about rural voters, too, is they have become much more homogenous nationally, which means if you go back 20 years, rural voters in Wisconsin would view immigration differently than, say, in Ohio or Iowa or definitely Texas. But by 2020 and now 2024, it's become quite clear with public opinion polling that rural voters, no matter where they are in the United States, tend to have very, very similar views about immigration policy.
Interesting. Well, when we speak again in 8 years, I hope it's sooner, but what do you think we will have seen then?
I hate to predict. I will be optimistic. I think the Republican Party will tack back a little bit towards center-right, where it historically is. The Trump faction within the Republican Party won't be nearly as strong. 8 years from now, there's probably got to be a successor to Donald Trump in the Republican Party. And that successor, who knows who it will be, but I will predict that our politics will tack back towards the center and become a little more even keel.
All right.
Don't hold me to that, though.
Oh, I'm going to. Professor John Blakeman, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
That was great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Really, and a lot of good information.
Yeah, so 8 years from now, I'll probably be retired, but give me a call anyway.
All right, I will. You'll still be watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Professor, thanks again.
All right.
Enjoy the summer.
Yeah, thank you very much. Anytime.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too. Bye.